figuring out that the first time I met our speaker this morning was probably in about 1995, when I began teaching elementary art at Woodrow Wilson Elementary School in Newton, which is actually where David Cotton also graduated from elementary school. There are a few well-known people from Newton that are doing outstanding work, including Aaron Cody, who became one of the first winners of RuPaul's drag show as Sharon Needles. So all Newton grads. Yeah. So I had Kendra in my classes for about 7 years and got to know her fairly well. She was a quiet and shy and very talented person. And I'm just so excited to be able to introduce her this morning. She went on from high school to graduate with a double major at Central College in political science and Spanish. And after that, actually spent some time with VISTA, which is part of AmeriCorps, and did some work and started actually working with attorneys, I believe, maybe around that time. She completed a law degree at the University of Nebraska then, and worked a lot with families and immigration law. She then became a founding member of the LGBTQ plus Youth Center in Cedar Rapids, where she lives. She's been serving the community in many different ways and actually founded the Lavender Legal Center, which I think she's going to give us a lot of information about this morning. In her spare time, she lives with her wife and daughter. She lives in an older home and they love antiquing. Please give a big welcome to Kendra Weston.
This on my calendar for months, and I actually just had a second child in April and back from parental leave, and so this is an exciting way to start back up. I could talk about lavender forever. I forgot to bring my watch today, so I promise I'm not like Facebooking, but I'm going to use my phone as a clock so that I have time for you to ask questions. Lavender Legal Center is a nonprofit. We provide direct representation and related advocacy by and for LGBTQ people in Iowa. Going to give you a little history about Lavender Legal Center. Rick touched on a couple of things, but basically I had started thinking about how there were niche areas of the law where LGBTQ people didn't have the right legal sources. And then when I was working on the board for the LGBTQ Youth Center in Cedar Rapids, I also noticed that our children were lacking representation and advocacy in a variety of areas. So I started doing my research and saw that there's actually quite a few organizations like Lavender Legal Center across the nation, just not in Iowa. So Iowa has lots of different support systems for LGBTQ people, ranging from everything from social to health, but there wasn't a specific legal resource. And so, of course, started this during the pandemic. 2020 was terrible, right? And politics, right? 2020 was terrible. We really needed something that was going to give our community some hope. And so I talked with my wife and I said, look, this is what I'm thinking of starting. What do you think of this? And she said, go big or go home. So I left my other job and I started Lavender Legal Center. Let's see here that, yeah, October of 2020. Let's go on to our mission here. So our mission, we provide direct representation, advocacy, and referrals with a priority for serving those with low income and our LGBTQ youth. We know that LGBTQ people continue to experience disproportionate rates of poverty and violence. And so our legal services work to address the root causes of these issues through compassionate legal representation and related advocacy. We strive to provide a safe space for everyone to access legal representation. Poverty is an enormous barrier to receiving legal services. And so that was another reason to start Lavender Legal Center. I won't get into the stats, but it is incredibly high. The poverty rates for LGBTQ people, which means that therefore they don't get access to legal services the same. And in just doing this work, we've found that even people with financial means shy away from seeking legal services in what I would say is a timely manner for fear of stigma or having someone that's knowledgeable about LGBTQ specific issues. And so it really does affect the whole spectrum of our community. I do want to share Lavender's core values with you because I think they're very important to the work that we do and everything that we put into it. We have four main core values. The first is equity, and that we believe that legal aid and related advocacy are basic human rights. Access should be fair to all individuals. Inclusivity, providing equal access to services for those who are marginalized. Dignity. LGBTQ people are worthy of advocacy, no matter their specific need for assistance. And compassion. LGBTQ people in need of legal services, they come to the matter with great vulnerability. And so to best serve those individuals and families, Lavender must have concern and understanding for their sufferings. All right, now our services. So direct representation is our main service. Through representation, like I said, we work to address those disproportionate rates of poverty and violence in the LGBTQ community. We serve Iowa residents. Representation is prioritized for those with low income and our LGBTQ youth. Most of our legal services are provided statewide. We do offer our legal services on a sliding fee scale based on reported income from our clients. That being said, the majority of our clients are low income and they do not have a fee. We also do quite a bit of advocacy work, things that don't necessarily fall into the legal spectrum, but there's no one else to assist. Includes anything that isn't direct representation or referral. So whether it's collaborating with a school counselor or providing a family resources, we try to think outside the box in a holistic way to make sure that our community is taken care of. Referrals. We give a lot of referrals for anything that we don't provide specifically. So maybe it's a legal area and we can get that we don't provide. We have a great network of attorneys across the state and that are good, both allies and LGBTQ knowledgeable. We give a lot of referrals there. Mental health, housing. I had someone contact me the other day asking that they needed basically they said a handyman that was LGBTQ friendly. We help find those people that they can feel is safe to their family. And then we have a resource page on our website that covers the state as well. Give you a little bit about our team. So right now I am the sole employee. I wear a lot of hats, but I've got a phenomenal board that they're very involved and they have committees on top of that. And then we definitely utilize our law students. We have law student interns and volunteers, and certainly could not do this work without them. Very, very key. So these are some common cases that we take at Lavender. This is certainly not everything. We do a lot of name and gender marker changes. Family formation, so think like adoption and guardianships, basic estate planning, last will and testament, advanced directives, education and youth issues. So everything from maybe helping a student with advocacy for a 504 IEP plan in school, or I worked with a college recently that they were using like a third party provider for housing, where unfortunately LGBTQ students were getting paired with very homophobic, transphobic students, which is not where you want to live and feel safe, right? So we worked with the college on that. So we do a wide variety of education and youth issues. And then trans healthcare, that we just added last year. The majority of what we do in trans healthcare is working with employer-sponsored insurance companies to make sure that they're providing covering care. All right. I have a few stories that I just want to share with you. I love our clients. We have the best clients. They're such beautiful people. And their stories just make me so proud. This story, I call it the gender marker change impasse, because this person came to me and they had done their name change by themselves, very smart, and they were able to navigate that, and they were very proud of that, as they should be. But then they went to update their birth certificate. Well, the way that it works is you do your name change through the court system, but then you do your birth certificate through vital records, right? And so you then change both the name and gender marker at that time. Well, this person went to apply to amend their birth certificate, and they thought they completed it. Everything was great. Well, they got their birth certificate back, and only the name had been updated. The gender hadn't been updated. So now they had a birth certificate with a very gendered name and the opposite gender marker. So think like Katie, but gender marker male. Well, you don't want to go update your driver's license with that, or Social Security. I mean, there's a whole list of things you have to update. So, this person called vital records, didn't get the response. In fact, they left with more questions, more questions than answers. And they didn't know what to do. So they fell into a really deep depression for almost a year. And then they found us. And we know the process in and out for updating birth certificates. And so by the time they could get us involved, we were able to get them a birth certificate with those correct birth certificate within a month. And she was able to then go to Social Security and now get a driver's license that better matched her. And she wouldn't have to be outed. That's one of the biggest issues, is having legal identity documents that don't match. That's an enormous problem. Another story I want to share with you. Trans elders' safety was threatened. This person originally came to me wanting a name and gender marker change. And they were living with a homophobic and transphobic brother. So they were already in a position where they didn't feel very safe. They also had a landlord that was anti-LGBTQ. They were just having a horrendous time. No support, very isolated. So during the name and gender marker legal process, it was repeatedly shown that their family did not support them. And worse, they were creating lies and attempted to undermine our client by threatening their safety if they followed through with getting a name and gender marker change. So what we did, this is a really good example of why we're a holistic service and how important that is. What we did is we worked with this client to also find them new and affordable housing with an affirming landlord, and find them financial resources because they're also low income. Because yes, they need their name and gender marker change, but if they don't know where they're going to sleep the next day, that's safe. How does that help? How does that get them right? We need to be able to survive so that we can thrive. So this was a case that I really enjoyed working on because this person was committed to, you know, they went through a lot to be able to be their true self, and I was very proud of them. Another story to share with you. I'll make sure I'm okay on time here. We don't typically take divorce and custody cases. However, this was a child who identified as queer, and their parents were divorced, and they wanted to change their custody situation. One of the parents had contacted me who was affirming of their child. And it turns out that the primary care parent was very unaffirming, and it was very detrimental to this child's mental health. We were able, without even going through the court system and having litigation, because we know what litigation can also do to children, right? Like, that's incredibly traumatic. So we were able to come to an agreement between the parents to get this kid some LGBTQ affirming therapy, and then get them more time in the house where the parent was affirming. And they are now doing much, much better. And the other parent that wasn't originally affirming is on the right trajectory, and also going with their child to therapy and making a lot of grounds as a family. So that's something we've been very proud about, to make sure that those kids are able to grow to adulthood, right? I get phone calls all the time saying, well, I don't need to do an adoption because I'm already on the birth certificate. Unfortunately, that's not true, but we hear it all the time. We think that we have marriage equality, and then we had a case that, you know, put our, you know, spouses on birth certificates, and that's great. But it's not enough. It's not enough. I can't emphasize that enough, that it's not enough. Right now, I think we're up to five states in the country that have taken off a parent from the birth certificate because they're a same-sex couple. Now, this is a majority of same-sex female couples who have used some type of artificial reproductive technology to have children. But we have at least five states who have denied parental rights to a mom by taking them off the birth certificate. We're seeing more and more countries doing the same. And so those, what I call confirmatory adoptions, unfortunately in Iowa, they call them step-parent adoptions. But we do quite a few of those as a way to provide an insurance policy to those parents in the event that we can, well, continue to have attacks on our community. So we had one in particular where a child had been born in a different state. That state doesn't recognize putting both parents on the birth certificate. When you've used artificial reproductive technology with a known donor. And so that mom couldn't even be on the birth certificate in that state. So now that they live here, we were able to get an adoption, could go back and get her name on the birth certificate. Key for a variety of reasons. I know that we often think of like custody when it comes to those confirmatory adoptions, but it actually goes much deeper than that. Think of like inheritance or, you know, it, traveling. Those are very important. And then the last story I'm going to share with you today is I want to share a little bit about our advocacy work, because we do quite a bit that, it's not in the legal, but it's still related advocacy because there's nowhere else for our community to go for that. I had a school counselor contact me right after the pandemic. And well, when we were returning to schools from the pandemic, and they had a trans child who was coming back to school. But during that year where school was online, that child had transitioned. And so they were coming back to their peers and their teachers as someone different. And this counselor wanted to make sure that the school was going to be able to support them in this. But she had no idea what to do. She's like, I've researched, but this doesn't make sense. I don't know where to look. So we kind of rolled out a game plan. Like, here's how you can best support this child. Here's how you can respond if, if there's adverse reactions. And it was a team effort. Like, the school really, really needed the resources and education. And by working with them, they were able to implement that successfully. And that child returned from the pandemic, loving school, very excited, 10 years old. So they were very nervous and then even more excited to get going back to school. I will stop there in the event that there are questions. So the question is, does Lavender provide continuing education courses for lawyers? And yes, we do. And we kind of tailor it to what is being asked of us. I've done everything from pronouns presentation to a family law focused CLE. So yes, we do. And we're happy to do more. Yes.
If you talk about your clients that are voting on this slide, how are you funded?
The question. Great question. Most of our clients are low income. So how are we funded? Grants and individual donations. That our first year was all individual donations. That was incredibly inspiring because it showed me that we've got a great community backing the work that we're doing. And they believe in, not only the emergent situations, but the preventative and situations too, that holistic. Right now, I would say now we're more grants than donation, individual donations in terms of amount. But because the fees don't add up to anything. Yes. Yeah, the question is that we thought Obergefell and some other cases had settled the issue of the birth certificate and having both parents on there. Trying to think how long of an answer to give. So the short answer is, in some ways, it did fix it. But marriage equality did not provide parental rights. We inferred that in a lot of cases. And Iowa has their own court case specifically putting parents on the birth certificate. So like, because of that court case, when my son was born, my wife is the one who birthed him in April, I was automatically put on the birth certificate because we're married. Okay. But it's not like that in every state. Wisconsin is an example. They don't put both moms on the birth certificate if you used a known donor and you didn't, you don't have a doctor's letter, basically. So they wouldn't have it, even though they were married. Right. And they picked out their donor together. They planned this child together. they still, the non-biological parent didn't get put on the birth certificate. So then the adoption was super important because they could go back to that state and say, okay, we have an adoption. You at least have to put us on now. So yes, in some ways it fixed things, in terms of some states added more security, for same-sex, parents, but, unfortunately it's hasn't been enough. We don't. We've had a handful, but not very many. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Question was, do we get very many LGBTQ immigrant cases? And so I guess I'll follow up with that too and say, like, we haven't had anything that is, like, are you thinking like asylum and that kind of thing? Yeah. So we haven't had that, but we have had the overlap where we need to help get identity documents updated. Like, it, let's say they have their identity documents are from another country, but now they've had a name and gender marker change here in the States. Those things don't match. And so we've assisted with that. So there's the immigration overlap, but not the level that you're thinking of. Yes.
Reynolds know about you?
And have you interacted with her over the last year? You know, the question is, does Kim Reynolds know about us and have I interacted with her? No, I have not had a conversation with Kim Reynolds. I'm always open to conversation. I think conversation is how we get change, right? And how we change minds and make progress. So I am always open to a conversation. I haven't yet. Yes. Yeah. So right now, our volunteers are law students. And so we work directly with the law schools. Silver lining of the pandemic, if we can find one, is that, you know, we started out as a virtual organization because of COVID, but we quickly found that it was actually really, really great to for our clients and to keep costs down for the organization, our operating costs. So we've continued that, and then that makes it even more accessible to our law student volunteers and interns. Like our intern this fall is from Missouri, and she'll be working from there.
So you just are you working in the States then?
No, we are only licensed in Iowa. Yep. So we only serve Iowa residents, and I am only licensed to practice in Iowa. So if there's like a case in another state, we can't take that. Yes.
So the official site of request for help with the birth certificate and bio records. I never knew you existed, so I'm thrilled to hear do exist, and we work a lot of those constituents trying to get.
Yes.
And it's amazing what we're able to do for people just by connecting them with the right people.
Yes.
Because there are answers to all these questions, but nobody's like ever put a map together for how to work through these systems.
Right.
All the issues you identified have dealt with on a constituent basis. But every one of them was like reinventing the wheel for me.
Yeah. So yeah. Thank you. Yes. You know, and yes, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, even by county, things are different. You would think that a simple name change would be the same in every county. It is not. And some are much harder than others, right? And so for people to have to navigate that on their own is really frustrating. So yeah, thank you. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we collaborate with quite a few, I've done a lot with Iowa Legal Aid, worked on stuff together, done presentations together. ACLU, I'm always keeping up with them and the great work that they're doing. Or like if there's a case I can't take, but they can, or if there's a case they can't take, but I can, we do that. Let's see where else. Why not? Yep. They know of us. yep. And I know that they refer people our direction as well. Iowa Safe Schools. Yep. We've got a connection with them too. And depending on the issues, sometimes it's, if it's like educational issues, we send people to Iowa Safe Schools because why recreate the wheel, right? We definitely don't do that. We're here to fill in the gaps. So where we can send people for resources, other organizations, we definitely do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I understand it's probably fulfilling but frustrating. Running the organization, putting all this together. And I think probably a lot of it comes back to money and funding, but what's your dream for your organization? Where would you like to go? Would you like to add, you know, another lawyer? I mean, it seems like you're holding down the fort with a good board, but what's your dream?
Yes, we have to expand. We have to expand because that's how we meet our mission. We have to expand in terms of the types of cases that we take, because quite frankly, the more I'm in this work, the more we realize that everything's LGBTQ specific. Everything is. You can't have cookie cutter. You can't have people that are not knowledgeable. Being an ally is fantastic. We need LGBTQ knowledgeable attorneys. It's essential. And so we need to expand the types of cases that we take, the legal areas, which means we need more attorneys, right? So that's next on our list, is to hire another attorney so that we can continue that. Right now, our wait list is, I think I just told someone 6 weeks, but there's been times where our wait list is 12 weeks. That makes it really tough if you have an urgent situation, right? There might be some things you can hold off a little bit. You know, you might be able to hold off on a will for a few weeks, right? But my guess is that if you're seeking a name change, you need it now. Or if you, there's just a variety of things that are more urgent. And so I have lots of goals. We did some strategic planning last fall. And, you know, the goal is just to keep expanding to meet our mission, to make sure that we're providing legal services for LGBTQ people in Iowa. And the reality is that means expansion because the need is greater than what we can provide right now. Yeah. Right now we're doing a lot of, I guess you'd call it coaching, and on prevention, because yes, the gender affirming care, attacks, on our youth is devastating. I was just talking to a mom. I ran into them this weekend and this last weekend, and you know, they're having to drive their kid to Minnesota for healthcare. Most families can't afford that, right? So a lot of what we're doing is getting people connected with resources. So any whether they come to us for a specific legal service, they don't necessarily have to do that. We're still providing people with, okay, here's this step, go to your current doctor, find out what they can provide. If they can't provide a service that you do need, here's the next step. You need to go check out your insurance and see if they cover A, B, and C. If they do, now you need to go up to Minnesota or Illinois and Wisconsin. Actually, they're all taking our cases right now for healthcare. So we're doing a lot of coaching for parents on that and how to get their kid support during a time where their state is telling them they're not supported.
was just curious about your board structure, and are you looking to expand that? Are there certain skills and demographics you're looking for to build out your board?
I love that you asked that. So our board, I love our board. I feel so grateful. We have 6 board members right now. That being said, most of our board is in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa City area, but we want everyone from Iowa, right? We serve all of Iowa. We want a board that's representative of that. So we just had one person from Des Moines join. We're always looking. We have 6, but we can always have more. I prefer odd numbers for voting purposes. If there's interest, please reach out to me. I would love to chat more. Yes, we have a lot of those instances, especially if you're looking backwards before, legal marriage was an option, and maybe now there's benefits that need to be obtained. So we've done that. Also, a lot of our clients can't marry because they're low income, they're on government assistance, and they would lose lose that if they got married. So we're always advising in that whole realm. Yes, good question. Yeah.